You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, the co-host of this wonderful podcast. And joining me on the other line, because we avoided our Monday show for some reason, mainly my fault, is a guy who I'm trying to think of something on top of my head. Who probably had a pretty sweet week. How are you doing, Tony?
That was the best you could come up with. I threw you under the bus for ditching me yesterday. Don't worry. You don't have to talk about you not being on my Monday show.
The joke I could have said was a guy whose mic I don't plan to mute in any upcoming conversations.
That's true. That's topical. That's interesting. But we're here to talk Pacers, Adam. And if we're talking, that means we're talking about free agency, aren't we?
Yeah, so today we're doing power forwards. We've been building up to this, right? Last week we did small forwards. Before that, shooting guards. Obviously, before that, point guards. And this might be, I think, the position the Pacers can improve the most at and need the most help with. Am I wrong in saying that?
I 100% agree. And as we'll dig into, it turns out that this is probably the like deepest group of positions, right? We went through... You know, with the shooting guards, like, there were only two guys worth above the MLE. And at point guard, there were a few, but no one really stunning. And we did the wings last week, same kind of deal. Some good guys. But the power forward free agency crop is pretty substantial. So a good time for the Pacers to kind of swing for one. And we can really dig in to specific names later. But, yeah, we always open these the same way, right?
Yeah, we basically do why we think they need them. Or what, you know, what they're looking for, I guess, in a pre-agent player. So whether it's, you know, from a starter to backup to like a, you know, 14th man, then we do the kind of big name fridge they probably can't get or won't be able to get without some crazy cap mechanism. And then we do the guys they might actually get in right. The spots they need. Although this one, I think we can, just like we did with probably the threes, we can have a discussion about using an $18 million salary as a trade for something in a signing trade. Because I think that's enough. Realistic, especially yes. For this specifically, I think that's really, is realistic, I guess is the right way to put it. And I would say three and four the same way, because the Pacers could either turn their three, TJ Warren, into a four or get their own four, but they need one of the two to fill, basically.
We talked about that last week, right? Or one of the reasons they'd get a three is because they're starting Warren at the four. Well, as we run through reasons they would get a four, if you go back a month when we did our most likely to least likely to get traded Pacers, Adam's number one and two, I think, were both centers. And two of my top five were the centers, right? It's pretty likely that they...
Well, one of them's a power four technically, but yes.
Yeah, technically, whatever. That of Miles Turner and Sabonis, right, only one will be starting next year. And thus, the opening becomes power forward, if that's Warren or if that's free agent is another thing. But if Warren stays at three, all of a sudden there's a huge hole for this power forward spot. And Adam is right in that, you know, if they trade that guy for the $18 million a year guy via sign and trade, that opens up some of the higher salary guys on these lists. But also, you know, if they trade him for nothing, suddenly they have the full MLE very easily, stuff like that. So that is the easiest route to me to where you go, yeah, they definitely need a four because XYZ, it's literally their biggest hole and they're starting five all of a sudden.
Yeah, and this is the one spot where, if you can get – you can find decent stretch four, it's extremely valuable in this league. I mean, there's not that many of them out there, and it sort of can really change the dynamics of the team in the sense that if you can basically, in the Pacers instance, have, let's say, your one center surrounded by four shooters, it's a big deal.
Right. Yeah, the stretch four and
four more dynamic shooters. Sorry, I should say that four more dynamic shooters than just like a pop off the corner three, but a guy who can maybe hit a couple different shots. They can actually like, they have the ball in his hands and shoot a ball off a dribble if you need to or whatnot.
Haven't we heard just about every summer that the Pacers are looking for a stretch four?
Well, I would make a case that pretty much every team in the NBA is looking for a stretch four every summer, except for maybe like the ones that have like the elite ones. So like what, like is Kawhi playing four, I guess, right now? Maybe LeBron's playing four, but like literally every team in the NBA wants a stretch four, right? It is to me the like hottest commodity position in the league at this moment, because there just are not that many great ones. There aren't many great ones, and it's a position that like, if you find the right one, it makes your team, like it unlocks everything, right? I mean, let's just, you go on the line, right? I mean, you know, from a guy we'll talk about later, like Serge Ibaka kind of playing the four for for Toronto was a huge deal for them. Moving LeBron to the four and playing Davis at the five was huge for the Lakers this year. For the Warriors, it was definitely playing Iggy at the four was huge for them. Houston.
Or even Harrison Barnes, if you want to call it Barnes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one of those two guys are in playing Durant there.
Robert Covington for the Rockets, right.
Yeah, Covington and Tucker, sort of, when they were playing Capella. I mean, that having that stretch four literally, I think, takes a team that usually is already really good to that next level almost in a way.
Right. Especially if you have the ball handling talent to use the spacing they provide.
Exactly.
And the Pacers are maybe a little lacking in that department, but I think that another benefit there, this is kind of, it improves twofold is, so, you know, Brogdon, we saw a lot of like, he's a pretty good finisher without a ton of space to do so, but he doesn't always burn his guy, right? He gets like a half step on his defender a lot, so his finishes are still a little hard. Even if you just give him the tiniest bit more spacing with a better stretch four, not only does it help Brogdon make his drive a little easier, but it also, you know, we talk about him being a better pass, like him actually being able to throw skip passes is not something they've had in a point guard for a long time. Those two could work off each other really well. And to follow up on your point about the stretch fours and how important they are, just look at the bench this year, right? I don't care who you call the four between McDermott and Holiday. Both of them can shoot really well. Lo and behold, that group like got a lot of ball handling out of every ball handler they had. They had a million little alleys they could run through, and they could use Sabonis as this fulcrum and use those guys shooting to open up so much stuff. And that bench unit was great in the regular season. And, you know, it was really lacking in the postseason when some of those guys were more cut off. But you saw the value that the stretch four can provide when the units are humming, and that's why the position is so important. Even if they don't trade the centers, just having a stretch four is helpful just to have.
Yeah, and the other thing to think about too is it was the Sabonis progression, right? The fact is, his best self will be unlocked if there's four shooters around him. I mean, we kind of saw that with the bench unit, although McConnell's not the greatest shooter, but four guys who he can hit the ball to, who can score in some way, whether it's cutting the rim or whatnot. And so having that kind of stretch four to play with him unlocks him even more as a ball handler. Because I made a case that maybe they don't have the like top end ball handler that some of the great teams have, but they've got, you know, three guys capable of handling the ball, assuming, you know, the three starter thinking about come back of handling the ball and kind of making any kind of pass on the court if possible. You know, they're not perfect at it, but it definitely has the chance to unlock Sabonis in some ways too. I mean, we saw that with another free agent who's this year, talk about later, is Paul Millsap next to Jokic, right? It just kind of, you could put Millsap in the corner, but the guy could just a good basketball player who knows how to score, right? I mean, he scored a lot of different ways, but he was especially lethal from three in the, what was it, the second round series? He was huge against, I think, the Clippers most of that series. So
there's that possibility. If they trade one of the centers and they need a starter, they could use a four. But if they don't even trade one of the centers, it's pretty simple that just say Justin Holiday's gone. Boom, you need a four immediately. Like, I guess McDermott's at your four and then you need a three there. But like I said, it's a nominal thing at that point. And, you know, I know for a pretty solid fact they tried to get Jamichael Green last summer in free agency. So I know they kind of looked to that bench power forward, and Justin Holiday ended up filling the role, I mean, better than you could ask for, right? So that worked out really well for the team. But, like, guys of that Jamichael Green level or a little better, if Justin Holiday's gone, you're looking at, you know, the solid, they can shoot a little bit, they can defend a little bit, they can do a lot of stuff kind of fitting in. And we talked about Green on the show, right? We thought he was a good fit. Anyway, and that was when the thought was that TJ Leaf was going to be the backup power forward, and he kind of was at the beginning of the season. But if Justin Holiday walks, all of a sudden they're going to be looking for someone at about – probably a little less, but than his salary range to fill those backup 4 minutes.
Yeah, and that's going to be important playing with Goga if he ends up playing this year. Definitely. Right, is having that.
Yeah, and they have to try to get Goga minutes in his sophomore year. Right? They basically have to. It's just natural.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, then it's a waste of a pick.
Right.
And I don't think we know.
That's why they had to try with Leaf. Like, I get that he's bad, but I we both talked about last year they're going to open the season with him in the rotation and try it. And at least it didn't work, but it's better to know than to just not even try.
Also, I mean, with Goga, we don't really – I mean, I thought he showed flashes of being a good player. We have no idea what he's going to be. Yeah,
inconsistent, but definitely flashes of good.
Yeah, I mean, he had some injury issues kind of in and out, especially in the bubble time. But he clearly can shoot the ball for a center, which is, like, a huge plus. And he definitely, like, this huge body who can do things. You know what I mean? He can, like – I don't know. He can play defense well, and he can sort of set some screens. Like, he just, like – he sort of has, to me, like a – and he's probably too small right now, but like a Steven Adams, and I'm going European players right now, Enes Kanter type body, but with a jump shot, which is
allowed. Kind of huge. Yep. Right. So with that in mind, you know, if they trade, I'll just say Turner, but it doesn't actually matter. If they trade Turner for basically no salary or like useless salary and picks, then all of a sudden they're looking at like using their full MLE on a four. And if they trade Turner to sign and trade for a four, they're getting like an $18 million power forward. And if Justin Holiday walks, they're getting like a mid-level exception level four. And what I'm basically running through all that to say is we can't really rule anyone out. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to envision the sign and trade kind of stuff. Right, because it has to make sense for the other team too. So that's like we talked about Hayward. That's a lot harder, especially with the player option for him. But even with just regular unrestricted guys, it's still a little hard. But you know, this position, unless they move Warren up, which I'm totally cool with that too. The bubble was great, but this position and just in general, shooting at another spot in the starting five seems like an imperative thing. And I just think it's a really important spot. So it's important we run through every guy and how it could work out.
Yeah, but first,
except for one guy, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, I think I'm the only guy talking about it. But first, let's take our first break and talk about our wonderful friends over at RockAuto.com, who have now been sponsoring this podcast for a better part, I think, 6 months. So RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for over 20 years. You go to RockAuto.com right now to shop for all the auto and body parts you need from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need from brake pads to tail lamps to motor oil to even a new carpet for that car. They're great for either your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specification, and prices that you prefer. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Main selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And today's Locked On Pacers podcast is also brought to you by our wonderful friends over at Built Go. So Built Go is like Built Bar from the same company that makes that great protein bar we talked about for a while. But Built Go is an energy pack. It's an easy 1.5-ounce packet you can take anywhere you go. That means if you're going to work, you can put it in your bag. You're on the golf course, you can put it in your golf bag. You can put it in your glove box when you're driving, whatever. It's a great little energy boost. It's kind of like a 5-hour energy without the same crash. The feeling is natural and it's great for your body. They come in three delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. They have this collagen protein that promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better, and they don't have all the caffeine, but just a little kick, so it won't have the same kind of crash as some of the other kind of, energy bars or gels. And all right now, if you go to BuiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. The promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Okay, Tony. So you teased it to start. So there's obviously one big name power forward who is already announced where he's re-signing. Who is that guy and how much is he going to sign for?
I can't believe we're saying Anthony Davis. Remember, Anthony Davis really wants to come to Indiana, Adam, and pair with Paul George. Don't forget. He really wants to be here, Adam. I promise you, Anthony Davis wants to be here.
Who said that?
I'm joking. Remember that was the Paul George insinuation? Was that Anthony
Oh, is Davis? That what you think he was trying to say?
I think so.
Oh, I thought he was saying Paul Millsap. Well, who was another guy on this list?
We'll get to him in a second. Yeah, Anthony Davis, best power forward available this offseason. And I say available. You guys couldn't see me. I say this all the time, but I was doing air quotes. He's not available. He will opt out and re-sign with the Lakers. If it's a 2-year deal or a 5-year deal, depending on how he wants to handle his max, I don't know. But
he should sign for 5 years, 190. That team's going to be good for 3 years, and then he'll be the star of it.
I agree.
Maybe get that fourth year as an opt-out, whatever, but, you know, 5 years, 190,
basically,
right?
Basically, oh, for him, 5 for 190 would be his 5-year with a 4-year opt-out. Yeah, that's what he would do.
Anyways, yes.
Yeah, after AD, there's only two guys, maybe only one. I don't know. There's only one guy I know for sure that I think can get over the mid-level, probably two. And these are the guy. And the problem is, well, okay, hang on. Let me just talk.
I have three, but.
You have three. Okay. Okay. Two of mine are Marcus Morris and Serge Ibaka.
Yeah. I'm with those are two of mine.
Is your third one Millsap?
I think so. He'll get over the mid-level. I think he would.
Interesting. I think the only team that will pay Millsap over the mid-level is his incumbent Nuggets.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
So that makes it possible. The reason I mentioned the mid-level, we do this every time. One is because the Pacers have the mid-level, right? So anyone mid-level or lower, they can just offer the deal to. No need for a sign and trade. Don't get cute. If the guy wants to come here, he'll take the deal. This is the sign and trade range, right? So if the Clippers want Miles Turner or Sabonis or whatever, they could go Marcus Morris signing plus stuff for Turner. That doesn't really make sense to me.
Hold on, Tony. I think actually but, you're okay, wrong.
Let me back up to you though, Adam. They gave every single possible thing they could trade away already for Paul George.
So. Yeah, I don't think they have the assets to give. But let's put it this way: if the Pacers are backed into a corner, then you might be talked into Morris, and I'm trying to think of a player they have in the roster.
Like Landry Shamet.
Yeah, I mean that might. You know, they could be talked into that. Right, I mean, we don't know what Turner's real value is. That might be his top value for all we freaking know.
I don't know if I would do that. Ibaka is good. Ibaka is really good. The thing is, he's kind of older. He would fit pretty well with this Pacers team.
How old do you think he really is?
I don't know. I don't have reason to believe he's not 31 or 32 okay, or whatever.
You're not one of those people.
No.
Okay, just how they ask. No, I do. I'm not. Just how they ask.
Yeah, there were those questions about his age. He still seems spry, like a 31-year-old, right? Good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, he would be another thing for Miles, and the Raptors probably would be all over this. Like,
oh yeah, for sure.
Terrence Davis, and I don't know what else the Raptors.
The question with Ibaka is, he's kind of more.
Ibaka's a great fit with the Pacers right now.
Well, he is, but isn't he really more of a center still? Like, when he's better as like kind of a five. To be honest.
Yeah, you can play the four. You play next to Marc Gasol for them.
But are you creating the same problems you had before where, like, you kind of have
lesser
a four?
So, but yes, a little.
Yeah,
bit.
But it's not to the same degree, but it's still similar, I guess. Like, you don't really clear the court up the way you do, like, with a Marcus Morris, at least. It's sort of like, you know, it's a stretch four, maybe more of a three some at points, where, like, Ibaka's more of a four-leaning five, I guess.
Well, see, the thing with the last guy, Paul Millsap, and by the way, the reason the Millsap's tough is – the Nuggets have no use for Miles Turner, right? So,
yes, absolutely true.
That one just makes no sense.
They have to be a three teamer, some move where Millsap goes somewhere, he comes here, Turner goes somewhere else, and then the money goes to
Millsap. Also, a very good fit with the Pacers to me.
And he's just very old.
He's very old. He's like 36, right? So, you'd probably want to get some extra stuff there from whatever. There's no sign and trade that makes sense. So, yeah.
Hold on. So, I actually think Morris makes some sense. I don't know if I like him as a player personally.
I meant for Millsap, but yes.
Oh, yes. I thought you meant in general the three. Sorry.
No, Morris was fine.
Morris makes sense because the Clippers could use a center. It's kind of like the spot they need. They have somebody they can pretend can guard Anthony Davis when nobody really can, but they can pretend that Turner might be able to and talk themselves into it. And to be honest, I don't think we know what Turner's value is. I mean, maybe there's some random team like a Wizards or the Pelicans who really want him, and that's the trade. But like, I wonder if they reached a point where it's like, we know we can't go back to the two centers, so we have to take something to change this up. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe. If things start to – because I have a feeling they're going to get to that point. Now, maybe they can – like, they're not in a position where – they're not in a – when you're gambling, when you're kind of trying to bluff, they're not in a position where they can just walk away from the table because they're walking from the table, they end up with a really bad position. So, that's sort of the thing. I think they might have to make that trade. But I don't know. I don't think it's an interest in their books, to be honest, but – it would make some sense, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I have to be like Shamet and whatever thing they're available to Shamet's give up.
Good. I mean,
they picked in the first round last year. I forget who they got. That guy from Florida State who never played for them. But
you know who they could have gotten if they didn't take with Jerome Robinson, like Michael Porter Jr.
Gosh, Jerome Robinson is terrible. I can't believe he went in the line.
I mean, Shamet would be an okay. I mean, he's not like
Shamet's good,
fantastic, but he's
Shamet's like a little better than Aaron Holiday.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good. Sure. You could throw him into the mix and see if he becomes something.
And Marcus
he's actually
Morris,
younger than Aaron Holiday, too.
The thing is, it's a Morris twin, right? There's always some off-court yada yada that comes with that. But he's good. He can really shoot. He can kind of defend.
Yeah.
He fit pretty well. But everyone else, I don't know if there's anyone that stands out to you of the other guys.
Of the top
everyone
guys,
everyone else is kind of mid-level or lower. And the top of the crop of the mid-level group to me is Derek Favors, who's kind of a five, first of all. And on offense, his offensive skill set is all at the five, which makes him not awesome. And then you're kind of at like your James Johnson, Jabari Parker group, and that is not super appealing. You know, those guys are more specialist-y and got overpaid on their last deal, and they don't really fit what the Pacers are trying to do. So that's where it gets a little bit harder.
Yeah, what do you think Montrez gets?
Montrez is a center, first of all, and
Well, would he be a center with the Pacers though if he signed with them? Let's say.
Why would they get Montrezl?
I'm not saying they're going, but if he could play for
the mid level, maybe a little more. He would have got a lot more before the bubble, but then he was awful in the bubble.
So. Yeah, and the reason Doc got fired. I thought Montrezl would be a four in my opinion, but that's what Sports Directly says.
Montrezl Harrell's a center for me, and I don't know. I do not think Montrezl Harrell's that great. But
no, that's fine. I don't.
I do not know what he gets, but I would guess around 10 million.
Okay, so he's about mid level, but there would be you would get him if you got rid of Sabonis, I think, I guess, maybe. In some way. That's what worked, but that's not what they're doing.
None of these guys really make sense. Bobby Portis is another one. I think he has some sort of team option. I don't really know how well he can shoot I don't have the stats in front of me, but my thought of Bobby Portis as a player is that he can't really shoot. And that kind of makes him not a good fit if you're going to spend a lot of money for him to be your fourth starter. So that mid-level tier, you know, if you're talking Portis favors James Johnson, who had a good season or two with the Heat, if you're getting that version, he's great. Other than that, no. And Jabari Parker, none of those guys really are either a good fit or the starter quality I feel like the Pacers would be looking for.
Yeah, I mean, they're not getting a starter out of those guys.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
They're getting a bench four.
Basically. Right, Jabari – microwave score, he might be worth $4 or $5 million these days, but not the fit they need. And James Johnson, again, his days are long past him. He has a player option for $14 million also, so he's probably not going to be a free agent anyway. And yeah, Portis, kind of a 15 feet and in kind of guy, same with Favors, except more like 10 feet and in for Favors. So just not good fits.
Yeah, what do you think of Dario Saric, man? I know he's
You're getting to the group of the bench guys that we got to take a break before.
Oh, you think he's in that range? Okay, if he's in that range, that's fine. That's fine, man. That's fine. Let's do that. Let's take one little quick break one more time, and then we'll talk about some of the bench guys and some other stuff. So to me, Dario Saric maybe is a little bit above that bench. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he can, like, he's been a starter in the past or whatnot, so he could start if he needed to. Like, if he really had a desperation, like, he tried to turn it for nothing and just had to figure it out. But I get what you mean.
Yeah, I can see that. He was pretty good for the Sixers, and I don't know.
He's really good. Like, I mean, his second year
centery for the Suns.
His second year, he was like a 39% three.
Yeah, he's good. You're right.
Before he got what was he thrown in that Covington trade? Right, they were both traded as part of that for Butler originally, right? And then they dumped Sarge out to somebody else.
Remember, he was in Minnesota for a little bit, and then went to Phoenix in the I don't remember what trade.
Right, and so he's just had his
What was that deal? How can I not remember?
Jimmy Butler's trade, right?
No, oh, he went from Minnesota to Phoenix.
Oh, I don't know. Probably like
I don't remember what it was. No, I don't remember. I can't remember.
I can't think of it.
A draft night thingy or something.
But like I would say when he was leaving Philly, it was like, oh, this guy's a legit player. Like, you know, Minnesota got two, you know, starting caliber players. Like, this is, you know, a good haul, I guess. And so I don't know. He's kind of fallen off, but I don't know if that's his own fault or just situation wise or whatnot or whatever. I mean, I think he's the kind of player who's like kind of a diamond in the rough per se, right? With somebody who maybe is underrated, but could come back in if he can shoot, you know.
If they can improve on the guy that was there in Philly, that's a starter level player and he can shoot for sure. A good player. They could just corner the market on good Europeans. Just roll with that group.
So it was, by the way, it was Dario Saric's 11th pick traded to the Suns for the 6th pick.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I draft day move up 5 picks. I don't know. I mean, he's not a bad. I mean, he would get – how much would he get?
Who? Dario, like 7 or 8?
Yeah, I was thinking 5 to 7 range. Yeah.
Yeah, you might be – he's restricted, so he doesn't have any leverage, so probably a little lower than what I just said. Yeah, if he wasn't restricted, I think he'd be like possibly the most ideal free agent for the Pacers this entire summer.
Do they do that thing where they try to, you know, trade for his
The Brogdon schmooze.
Give him a second round pick.
We need to make up a name for that maneuver because they never went for restricted guys. And that's why the Brogdon thing, we were like being giddy idiots on the live free agency show. It's like, wait, what?
We'll call it the Herb move.
The Herbinator. Stepping in on that one.
Okay, sure.
Problem is, they don't have a first round pick, so it'd be some.
He's not worth a first this year. He's not worth a first round pick.
That's also true. That's also
second round pick. High second round pick.
Yeah. So other guys for the benchy range that aren't restricted free agents. Another Phoenix Sun, Frank Kaminsky, who I don't think is very good, is one. The Suns seem to think he was pretty good. Gave him the full room at level last season. So you think about something like this. You know who got the full room and level for the Pacers is Justin Holiday. And I bet the Suns really wish they had Justin Holiday instead of Frank Kaminsky last season. So that just shows you the value of those deals, right? If you hit on it, great. If you miss, disaster. Jermichael Green, again, he's a player option with the Clippers for about $5 million. I don't know that he can make much more than that, but if Justin Holiday does walk, I'm sure the Pacers would give him the tax mid-level maybe, so he could get a tiny little raise. Are you either interested in Jermichael Green or Frank Kaminsky?
Not particularly, but I mean, I think though, when you talk about like the ninth man as a four or even like 11th guy's not in the rotation, I mean, those guys are both fine, you know what I mean? Especially if something injury happens or whatnot, you need something to happen, you know, whatever. I mean, they're probably not cracking the top nine, right?
Yes, correct.
Right. I mean, I'm trying to think of the situation where they would. I mean, you'd have to be playing 10 guys to play, basically.
Right.
But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts on Patrick Patterson? Obviously, he
used to be awesome, and then
right, like he was pretty good with the awesome. With the Raptors back in the day.
Yeah, there was a time when I was covering the Wizards, man. Whew.
Last I mean, he shot pretty well from three for the Clippers last year. Obviously, he didn't really
have a time back when he was leaving the Raptors where a lot of teams were like, wow, he'd be a great fit for our mid-level because he shot 37.2% from three for Toronto, shot pretty well from three for a lot of years in Toronto. And then his first year in OKC shot well from three but terrible from everywhere else, and then again in OKC. And then again with the Clippers, he shoots well from three and just terrible inside the arc. So he's kind of become – a just stretch four, and he's not good enough on D to make that worth it, but he's
I mean, has he become what's the right, like, do you think it's situational the reason he's been so bad, or do you think it's just, you know what I mean?
Another guy that is interesting to me, at least, he got traded this year to the Minnesota Timberwolves, which makes it a little bit harder to perfectly analyze him, is Juancho Hernan Gomez. Do you have any thoughts on Juancho? I know that they kind of liked him there. He was a part of the I should really know this better. Malik Beasley also went to the Timberwolves in this trade. I cannot remember who the Nuggets got for the life of me, which is killing me. But I think he's pretty good. His brother, Willie, on the Hornets. But, yeah, Juancho can do a little bit of everything at, like, a decent level, but he's not really, like, good at anything, which is kind of a hard player to evaluate. But I think he'd be a good fit just because he can kind of do a little bit of everything, you know?
Yeah, you've now reached a point in the list where I'm just like, oh, God.
You just don't anything about these guys. Well, okay, let me run some guys.
Well, no, I know the guys. I mean, the opinions I have on them are so minimal, I guess.
Okay, well, we skipped one, Christian Wood, who's actually very good.
Yeah. But he's RFA, isn't he?
He's not.
He's not.
No. He'll probably get more in the mid-level, but the Pistons have probably not going to let him go.
Yeah.
But there's a few other guys that I want to talk about. One is Noah Vonleh. I think he's an all right player.
Yeah, you're getting to – I was going to say there's a list of just Indiana people on this. There's Noah Vonleh.
Swanigan.
Swanigan, and then Juwan Morgan's down at the bottom.
Yep. And then Harry Giles is an interesting one. I think he's more of a center. The Kings did not pick up his fourth-year team option for some reason on his rookie deal. But Harry Giles is shown some decent stuff with the Kings as an unrestricted guy. I feel like a lot of teams are going to try to swing at him and just go for potential. I think he'd be a fine one.
Do you remember Harry Giles, the number one recruit or number one, I think?
Yeah, for Duke,
2017, 16 range?
Yeah, for sure. Marquise Morris, thoughts? You can tell just no.
No.
The substantially worse Morris twin. Can we do one that I feel like we have to discuss on this show?
Sure.
Alize Johnson.
I mean, he couldn't crack the rotation.
He's not going to crack the rotation, so he doesn't really fit the bill of what we're talking about. You know what I mean?
If you need an 11th guy, sure, he knows the system, I guess. He's been there, he knows the team. He knows where all the trainers are. He knows he's got a house already in the area probably, or a condo. Sure.
If he'll take a minimum, I'll kind of just shrug and go, all right, sure. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I figured he'd be playing in Europe once it reopens.
Yeah. He's good. He'd be like the best player in Europe. He's really good, but
yeah,
he's not an NBA level guy.
Sometimes that's kind of the destiny of players. That's nothing wrong with that, to be the best player in the country.
I think what we've gotten to with both the length of this show and the general meat of this segment, where you look through the list, right? We just rattled up. We didn't even get to guys like Scalabissier and Chris Boucher and Anthony Tolliver.
A lot of former top recruited guys or top. These guys who had a ton of potential because they went, you know, when they were 18, they were 7 feet tall or 6'10", and they were dominating their high school leagues because they were just this huge dude, and they just never really developed into, like, the next level, if that makes sense.
But between that group, basically everyone we talked about after Jabari Parker, right? Which is a lot of guys. There are, if you're willing to, if Justin Holiday walks and you have, you know, and you have what, $5 million to spend or whatever, even your BAE, $3.2 million to your deal, there's a lot of guys you can get who, and especially this summer where cap space is so scarce, who'll be willing to take anything they get offered, right? So if Justin Holiday does walk, not saying they can get a player as good as him because he was fantastic for the team this year, but they definitely have options to kind of scoop up before. There are a lot of them out there who could come in and maybe not, again, not be as good as him, but be capable and fill in some spots. And there are definitely some interesting guys who could be higher up in the rotation even. So it's a pretty deep position in a strange year of free agency. It's one of the deeper positions.
Yeah, my only thought is one of those guys end up being kind of decent. Like, could you steal somebody? You know, just one of those, like, because a lot of these guys you're talking about too, we're talking about not list are 18, 19, 20 years old. I mean, they're not, or maybe 21. They're not like fully developed players, and they could easily have a late kind of bloom in their career. I mean, Hassan Whiteside like comes to mind.
So young,
right? I mean, these are guys who just, you don't know. I mean, they flamed out because, for example, they are with the Kings, who drafted seven centers, so they had no time to play. Like, you just, I mean, maybe they're not good. Who knows? But like, might be worth bringing in the building and seeing. And the Pacers have a way with kind of the fours and fives of developing those guys. I mean, they've always done a good job at that. I mean, from Jermaine O'Neal, who was kind of the pro tip, you know, old school four, to Sabonis, to Roy Hibbert, to Turner. I mean, these guys, sure, you have a grace for Turner for what he is, but like, he definitely is an exceeding of his pick. I mean, he went left of wrong is considered.
How dare you not mention player. Jeff Foster's name?
Jeff Foster. Well, I don't know if he's a development. Jeff Foster's Jeff Foster, man.
that's totally.
I don't know if he developed any. I'm trying to think.
Fair.
I guess the last major four they had before, you know, this run with David West, and that was a free agent signing, but whatever.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, Jan Mahimi's a developed player too. Sorry.
Yeah, he actually had a really good season for this. No, it's okay. So yeah, I think if they do move on from one of the bigs, or Justin Holiday leaves, which is the reason that they would really want to own it on this position, that's not the end of the world, right? Like if for some reason McDermott suffers like a terrible injury, they'd kind of be in trouble on the wing, right? It's harder to get a good guy in free agency, and they'd have to trade for one. If they lose a guard, they have a logjam there. But in terms of power forward, that's the safest bet of they can get value at that position this summer. And that's why I think it's such an interesting one to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to sign, assume, or they have to trade for or sign a three or a four, because
I think you're right.
Unless they want to roll it back, and they want to run it back, they can do that. I'm just not that excited by it. I'm sure somebody would be,
but I don't think they'll do it.
You would be excited for rolling it back that same?
Yeah, but I'm one of the people who, so Tim Cato kind of wrote this in The Athletic about how it would be obviously, the Mavs are going to try to get Giannis because they can win a million titles. But, like, he is a writer, right? His feeling about it would be, like, it wouldn't be the same. Like, to me, it's like when trying to overcome the challenges with what you have is more fun and interesting than just, like, reshuffling all the pieces and trying. I don't know. I just – it's that's what's fun and interesting to me sometimes, as much as I like team building.
Yeah, I guess to me, what I enjoy is, like, making the marginal change that takes your team from being
I like that
one
too.
Thing to the next, right? I mean, I think the Warriors are the symbol of this, right?
See, I don't think moving Miles – I guess moving Miles is kind of a marginal change, but I feel like it's a bigger deal than that, right?
No, I mean, to me, it reminds me of – I mean, this is bad now because the Warriors can be great, but, like, when the Warriors had David Lee, who was legitimately a top, I don't know what we call him, 30, 40 player, and they benched him. He got hurt, but they tweaked him and changed him for Draymond Green, and, like, Draymond – nobody thought Draymond Green was going to be anything great, and all of a sudden the whole – team went from being, I think, the year before, 50-win team, 55-win team, to a 65-win team. And maybe it's part of Steph development, stuff like that. But, like, that little tweak, like, changed that team trajectory in a way that, like, nobody saw coming. And that's what you can do if you make just one right move at the right moment, right? I mean, it's how kind of these teams that necessarily don't have a rich history in just getting free agents are able to get better. They pounce on the right player the right second. And maybe, honestly, maybe the movie is to hold on the Turner because somebody will come free and then you'll have enough assets to go get, you know, a big free agent. Because there's nobody right now. I mean, there's nobody major out there, right? I mean, that we can talk about Bradley Beal, but like, he's not really being shopped around. The one being shopped around is on the Pacers roster.
Right. That's fine. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. It's going to be an interesting position, and it's going to be interesting to see how the team decides to progress into next year. We'll have to see. And I think we've kind of talked about this as we've gone through this, but like, it's very possible that the coaching hire dictates some of these decisions. So we'll see.
Yeah. You got any update on that front? I know it was, you did a podcast yesterday, so yeah. Just people can check that out, but obviously.
Yeah. Jaeger off the board, Billups kind of, I don't really know what to make of that, but seems like he's still in the running. They're in the home stretch. It sounds like only a few people left in the candidacy.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're hopefully getting close. I mean,
we keep saying every week. Content's sake.
I have a feeling they're going to break this news at like Friday at like 7 and we're going to be like,
oh, that's what I was thinking. I actually thought on Friday it might be coming.
But. I'm like, do we talk about this now? Do we wait? What do we do? Like, who wants to record at 7 o'clock on a Friday night? Not me.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. You want to do a football 2 seconds real quick? Your team kind of sucks.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is trash. That's all I got there. My undefeated dynasty team lost this week for the first time. I got a combined less than 10 points from DeAndre Hopkins, Juju, and Odell combined, so I deserve it. That's my football thoughts for the week.
All right. Mine is just that Phillip Rivers bought himself another week. We'll see what happens.
Oh, I'll give you a Colts story.
Okay.
So I only checked the Colts score twice, 24-7 and the final score.
Nice.
I have not watched any football this year, right? So the big comeback. That surprised me. And I ran with my dad on Sunday, and he said – so how bad did the Colts end up losing? Because the only time he checked the score was 21-0. So that's how impressive their comeback was, is we both thought they were going to get creamed, didn't they? Well,
I mean,
pretty cool.
They were favored from the start, so it wasn't that impressive, but yes.
Fair enough. It is impressive in the context of spotting the team 21 points. It's not impressive in the terms of that should not happen at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like it's kind of like the Pacers. Fair. The Pacers going down 25 to the Hawks, but then winning the game. It's like,
yeah, in overtime when Trae Young is 50. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that right? Didn't Trae?
Yeah, we come on the pod doing the recap. I think it was you. You know, you have to kind of toe the line of like, yay, they beat the Hawks. And like, oh, yeah, they.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that was one of those bad backdoor cover games because I think Trae Young had an over-under of like 50, let's say like 45 points to score. And he scored 46 in the last second three that didn't count. Or it was garbage time three. It didn't matter. But anyways, I digress. You got anything else?
No. Next week, center switch. I mean, that it's going to be the hardest show for us to do, but.
Well, we'll have a coach meeting by next week. So we won't
I was going to say, there's again, if the coach hire happens, we will throw our plans of player season recaps and free agent planning and front office shuffling out the window, and we will instead focus in on that and whatever.
The as a tease till then, should we just say, should they re-sign Al Jefferson?
Al Jefferson?
Yeah, bring him back.
Why? No.
Just as a tease.
Big no, Al was such a fun player, man. I know
he's to answer the question. Really, we're going to tease that for a week now.
Big classic, man. I'll never forget, like, this is one of the first practices I ever covered when I got to go to stuff. I got to talk to Al Jefferson about how he was jealous of Ike Anibogu's athleticism. It's like, I am never going to hear Al Jefferson talk about Ike Anibogu ever again. And he got traded, like, later that season.
I remember when he spin-moved Joel Embiid. That was
the best. Oh, that was the best.
Anyways, you can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers. You can follow Tony at Teased NBA. Me at FreeMadam5. As always, love to hear from you guys and just hear how we can make this podcast better anyway. So feel free to tweet at us. That is all for the Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys tomorrow.